This is episode 458 of Wheel Bearings. I am Sam Abul Samad from Telemetry.
And I'm Nicole Wakelin.
And I'm Roberto Baldwin from SAE International.
It's good to have you back, Nicole.
Thank you.
Nicole's
life
back.
Life has been crazy. It's very crazy. Crazy life happening, man.
Plus, do you have any good cookies or anything to
What's that?
About? Do you have any good
any
cookies
exciting
or
cookie news?
No, I don't even think I had exciting cookies. It's just... Yeah, not even that. I did have really good, yummy s'mores while I was in the Hamptons. Does that count? I had really yummy s'mores.
I think I've had s'mores once in my life.
S'mores? Only once in your life?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I have them a lot. Like, I don't know. Every time we have a fire pit, we make them. And the hotel we were at, they had fire pits and they would just had the supplies. And would you like s'mores, ladies? Yes. Yes, we would. Please give me chocolate marshmallows and graham crackers. I will happily sit here and have s'mores. I had yummy s'mores.
Yesterday morning I went to local Cars and Coffee here at Zingerman's Roadhouse. They do it once a month. In Ann Arbor. And there was some quite eclectic collection of cars there. There was somebody that had a Suzuki Jimny, a really slick Suzuki Jimny. There was, while we were standing there, I was chatting with Craig, my boss and friend. And as we were standing there, a Porsche 911 GT3 RS pulled in, and right behind it, a Mustang GTD. First one I've seen in the wild. Yeah. What else? Oh, somebody brought out this Opel GT. You remember the Opel GT from the 1970s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they had this Opel GT that was in this fabulous shade of blue. And when he popped the hood on it, it replaced the original Opel engine in it with a Ford EcoBoost crate engine.
Oh, wow.
So had some sort of Ford turbocharged four-cylinder engine in there. So it was some pretty cool stuff there yesterday.
Did they update the brakes?
Probably not. No, actually, I think he probably did. Let's see.
It's always like I always.
It's got some newer brakes on there.
Okay, then. All right. Because occasionally I'll see like there's a guy with like a lowered like 70s Datsun pickup that put a Honda K-Series engine in there and still has the original drum brakes. I'm like, you're going to die. You're going to die, buddy. You're not going to make it. He's like, me and this other guy, we were both like talking to him in the hardware store the parking lot, which as you do. And I was like, you're going to die. Update those brakes, guys. You're going to put a big engine in your old car. It's just, Don't kill yourself, please. Yeah.
All right. What have you all been driving?
Well, this week I have the 2026 Chevy Silverado EV Trail Boss, which is the first time they've had a Trail Boss in the Silverado EV, which is sort of the off-road focused trim, although I still can't see taking this off-road. But I think this might be the first time I've had the Silverado EV, maybe, kind of. I don't remember driving this before, so if I did,
You might have had the Sierra.
Yeah, like I don't think I've had the Silverado before. And the thing that struck me is the little buttressy things that come from the cab to the bed. Every single person who saw this was like, that's a weird-looking Honda Ridgeline. Everybody.
<Hey-o>. or an Avalanche.
Or an Avalanche. Ridgeline. Apparently here, Ridgeline was the, like, when I was like, is that a Ridgeline?
He said to me,
you got a Ridgeline. I'm looking out the window. I'm like, Chevy doesn't make a Ridgeline. Pretty sure that's not what that is. Like, but even my brother-in-law said it. A couple different people said it. Everybody thinks it looks like, and it literally is just from that little triangle. Is it? I don't know. What do you call that?
Yeah, it's a buttress.
Buttress? Okay, that little buttress that go in the back of between the cab and the bed. It makes it look. It really does look like to me, it's the Chevy Ridgeline. But whatever.
Well, if the top edge of the sidewalls was sloped down a little bit from that, then I would say it's Ridgeline. But because it's that part is kind of the edge of the bed is horizontal, then it's definitely Avalanche.
Oh, Avalanche!
Avalanche did do it first.
Avalanche did it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Avalanche
came out in like 99, I want to say.
Yeah, the late 90s, early 2000s.
I and then totally the Ridgeline associate came out. That with the Ridgeline. Maybe that was the first time I saw it.
I think it's because the Ridgeline is the latest with it.
Maybe. Because I just completely associate that with Ridgeline. I believe you, Sam. You know what you're talking about. But in my mind, it's a Ridgeline thing. 2001. Okay.
But the Avalanche had a pass through. That was nice.
Yeah, they had the Midgate, which they carried over to the Silverado EV.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so it's just an avalanche. Way, essentially, they just built an avalanche.
They built an avalanche. So an whatever you want to call it, I had one of those. So the Trope Boss, it gets some off-road goodies. It's a 2-inch lift. It's higher ground clearance than the base Silverado EV. You got like 18-inch wheels. There's all-terrain tires. There's red tow hooks, special badging.
Well, the red tow hooks automatically mean it's capable of going literally anywhere.
Absolutely anywhere. Red toe.
You
hooks,
could climb Mount Everest anywhere. With that thing.
Yep.
Easily. Right at the easily. Top. Without a hesitation. Yes, because that's what red means when you put red accents in a car. Toe hooks or
red
anything.
Red means ready.
Especially red
ready
means
for everything.
Ready to climb off-road anywhere. So there's an extended range and then there's a max range. The extended range starts at 70. The max range starts at 86.6. I had the extended range, which is about, they say it's 410 miles of range, and every time I charged it up, it was somewhere in the 408, 409, 412, 408, somewhere. It was always close to that 410 that it was saying, so it was pretty close. I never even remotely used all that range, and we even drove up into the White Mountains with it, which I have to say, I did a drive up yesterday for an event that I had, and I drove an hour and 45 minutes on the highway and some side roads to an event that was very brief, and then an hour and 45 minutes back. And it was highway driving, and it was very, very windy, like terribly windy here. And it's the kind of thing, like driving a truck on a highway, you're going to notice like the wind noise. You're going to notice that sense of the wind kind of grabbing you when you have nothing in the bed. Handled beautifully. It was actually really nice.
Well, I mean, it does have a respectable amount of road-hugging weight.
It does. that way, and you know, and I get that. I'm like, oh, okay, so here is the reason why you'd want an EV truck, because suddenly when the bed is empty and it's windy and you're going 70, because it's 70 miles an hour in there, so we're going about 70, a thing just stays planted. So it was actually really nice to drive, very comfy. What did my daughter's fiance say? He's like, you could fit a whole nother truck inside this thing. This is huge. He's sitting in the back seat. He's like, this is giant. Because he gets crammed in the back seat of cars whenever we're together, whatever my press car is, and he's over 6 feet. He's like, I love this. He's just spreading out.
Well,
because he's finally not squished.
If you put down the midgate, you practically could park a Ford Maverick in the back.
Seriously, yeah. Right? So it is rather large, but I found this easier to maneuver than a lot of trucks. I don't know. I just didn't have as much trouble. I think it's your line of sight and just the way it's done. I enjoyed driving this. Kind of forgot I was driving an EV, which is sort of nice.
Four-wheel steering.
Yeah. You forget that it doesn't feel like you're driving an EV. You just feel like you're driving a really nice, well-mannered truck, which I loved. I thought that was great. What I don't love is it's not cheap. So, you know, is $70,000, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. I mean, I know it's a really nice truck and it's the Trail Boss and it's the off-roady one and it like, woo, but 70 grand is a lot for a truck.
Gas trucks are getting ridiculously expensive.
Not that gas trucks are cheaper, just in general, period, the end, trucks are expensive. How's that? Yeah. And you know, the interior of this, I thought it was, in terms of the quality and the materials and the comfort, very comfortable, super comfortable for that drive. But the quality of materials is nice. The quality of the materials isn't $70,000. It was just nice. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't bad. But I wanted more like, wow, when I opened up the door than what I got when I opened up the door. And I feel
again,
like if you're
again,
paying,
to be fair, you open up the door on a $70,000 gas Silverado, still kind of meh.
Oh, yeah. No, this isn't an EV slight. This is a
Chevy
Silverado
issue.
This is a Chevy Silverado comment. And I guess I should say, if you felt that way about the gas one, guess what? You're going to feel that way about the EV, too. So I felt like the EV was very similar. Like, it didn't. But for me, that's a Chevy problem. I think, perpetually, I'm not super impressed with their interiors. I don't think they're horrible. I never feel like they're as nice as they should be. The price point of whatever vehicle I'm in, I tend to think, guys, could we do just a little bit more here? to make it feel a little more in line with the price. And I know that the price of a vehicle is a lot more than just what's in the inside. It's how it handles and the exterior, in this case, the off-road, and there's the EV, you know, the electric, you know, part of everything. I know all that, but it should also look like you're paying what you think. You look at that sticker on a car and you should say, $70,000? Sure. Yep. Okay. That feels right. And when you look at this one, you go, $70,000? Maybe. I don't think a car should do that. I think it should look, it should match in looks what that sticker says, whatever that image is in your head. And Chevy just never quite hits it for me. It doesn't matter if it's this or a far less expensive Chevy. But in all, I truly enjoyed driving this. I thought it was comfortable. It was easy, super easy to charge. No issues charging it, which is nice. I had troubles charging the F-150 where it makes I don't quite know what's happening because we never figured it out, but it would just stop charging in the middle. And when I plug in it at home, it would just stop charging and I get there's a little light that blinks when there's a fault in my charging thing and something goes wrong. Like every now and then the power fluctuates and I'm charging an EV and it'll do that. But like, you unplug it, plug it back in. It's good to go. The F-150 does something weird to my little EV charger at home. This doesn't. So it can still, my little Grizzly charger that is, I don't know what now, 4 years old or something, still is perfectly happy to charge up ye olde Chevy Silverado EV, which I appreciated. And it's, you know, it's nice and comfy and roomy inside. There's tons of room for all your stuff. I really liked it. And it was funny because I'm not a huge fan of big trucks, and this is a pretty big truck. And EV trucks, I'm sort of like, okay, fine, whatever. But this one, I like this one. I kind of liked it. Right down to its cute little buttresses, I liked it.
So are we going to guess on the destination charge?
Oh, do I have destination here? Let's see. Oh, wait.
And if we are we going to guess at what's on your Monroney? Or what the destination charge is if you order one today?
What Monroney? Hold on a second. Okay. Let me see. Yeah. I can look it up. Let me pretend I'm going to build it. I'm building it, and I'm going to go to the summary so I can see what it says. You guys can't be looking. And okay, go ahead. What do you think it is?
22.
Right this minute.
22.
Well, what'd you say?
2,200.
Well, the last time I checked a couple of weeks ago, the destination charges on all the full size trucks had gone up again to $28.95.
Oh, it's saying $25.95 right now online if you build the Trail Boss.
Oh, okay.
This very instant. I mean, by the time somebody listening to this podcast checks, it could have changed again.
Well, maybe they have not changed the EV yet. Maybe they only changed
maybe they haven't changed the EV. Yeah, because the EV's coming up is 25. So,
I think Sam wins by like $85.
Does he? Oh, yeah. What did you say, 22?
I said 28.
I said 22.
For 25, 95, 6. Yeah, I think he just beat you, Robbie. It was really close.
That's fine. I don't remember things, so I'm always just shooting off from the hip.
I never remember them either. So it's like I could drive this, and next week I would not remember what this pricing was. Right. Other than that, I almost said when I looked at it, wow, I don't know if you saw me. I went,
yeah.
Go ahead, make a guess. I'm like, $2,500. Yikes.
So one thing you didn't mention was the infotainment.
Yes.
And of course, this being a GM EV means it doesn't have any CarPlay or Android Auto.
I don't like that. It was funny because I didn't think I would care, and then I cared because I couldn't connect anything, and it was a long drive, and I wanted to, and I did not like not having it. That bugs me, not having Apple CarPlay.
Dun, dun. Dun.
It makes me cranky. So I forgot about that. It's funny you say that. I totally forgot that, and that was something I didn't like, but... changed my whole mind. No, but I forgot initially. Here's the thing. I forgot I was in an EV for a hot minute, and I'm trying to connect, and I'm like, what the is going on? And I'm getting mad, right? I'm like, why is this not an option? And then Rose is doing my daughter, Mom, you're just doing this wrong, and then she can't do it. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. We're in an EV.
They made a decision.
Yeah.
How many engineers does it take to not be able to connect your iPhone to a Chevy EV?
Right. Right. So womp, womp. Yeah. So that is somewhat disappointing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can hear your dog's disappointed too, Robbie. Was that your dog who did it? Like,
yeah, he's also disappointed.
He's also disappointed in this.
Because he wants to be able to listen to us.
He wants to be able to listen to things, and he can't. Yeah. So.
Big Audible fan.
Big Audible fan. So anyway, yeah. So that was the one thing I didn't like, but I overall do like it. I do miss Apple CarPlay though. I want that in my car. Yeah. When I don't have it, I miss it.
Yeah. So I guess that means you won't be ordering a Rivian R2 either.
Oh, does it not have Apple CarPlay? What is the Rivian R2's dealio?
It's the same thing.
They follow the Tesla pattern. Yeah, they roll their own completely.
Yeah. Also, no buttons. So. If they were up to them, there'd be zero buttons in the car.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm not a fan of no buttons.
Yeah.
Also, okay. Here, want to hear my weird air vent thing? And it could have just been mine. When you adjust, the vents are normal vents. You can touch them like a normal human and slide them around. But when you slide them, you know how normally you slide an air vent and it's, you slide it, you can like slide it left, right, and then you can move little louvers up and down. When you move louvers up and down, it just moves the louvers up and down and it kind of just sort of stops wherever you want. But somehow it wants to click into a spot when you go left and right. So if I'm just trying to move it a little bit, it like, I'm like, no, I wanted a little bit. No, and it has this little click point. So you can't just slide and adjust because as soon as you release it from the click point, it jumps a little bit further. And I'm like, you know, I've had enough of you. I was fighting a little bit with that.
I hadn't noticed that before.
I don't know if it was, and it did it on, and I thought first I thought it was just the one on the left-hand side of the steering wheel. I thought, is this a weirdness? But then I tried the one to the right, and it did the same thing. So it felt like uniform, not like one was broken, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
It's just a free-flowing.
Just free-flowing, yeah, no clicking
that's,
into that's place.
That's the way it should be.
It was free-form harnesses. Yeah.
You don't have to program anything. Mm-hmm.
Just put it wherever you want.
It was free-form up and down. It was not quite free-form left and right. It like clicks into a spot and clicks into a spot. I was like, I don't want to click. So there you go. That was my struggle.
Yep. All right. Anything else on the Silverado?
No, that's it.
Robbie?
I drove a car. I drove a 2026 Kia Sportage.
Ooh.
The PHEV X-Line Prestige all-wheel drive. That's so many words.
That is a lot.
So many words. It's a 1.6 liter turbocharged four-cylinder plug-in hybrid. It's got a six-speed automatic transmission. It's all-wheel drive with terrain modes and whatnot. I enjoyed the Kia, hold on, what's the name again? The Kia Sportage PHEV X-Line Prestige Worldwide Plus All-Wheel Drive. it's a nice, it's comfortable. It has physical vents, which I use a lot. The more I don't realize how much I use vents until we started doing this podcast, and I'm just constantly moving the vent. I'm like, oh, it's hot. So I move the vents so they hit me. And I'm like, okay, now my fingers are frozen because the vent's shooting my fingers. So I move them so it's more, you know, so it hits the rest of the cabin and cools it down. It's got vents that you can move. Woo!
But
it's got CarPlay.
I've been told by some of the best engineers and designers in the business that nobody ever adjusts their vents.
Ever.
Yeah, those people are liars. I don't know if the best is the word you should have used before you. That should have been a descriptor. I don't think that's a descriptor.
Best.
There you go. I don't think that's a really, that's a great descriptor. That's when you're, uh-oh. Uh-oh.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Carry on.
I'll carry on. Anywho, it's comfortable inside. This one has all the bells and whistles because again, it's the X-Line Prestige all-wheel drive. I did a range run sort of. It's EPA 33 miles, EV only. I was just blasting down the freeway at 70 miles an hour because, you know, I had things to do. So I'm like, well, I'm just going for it. And I got 28 miles. There you go. So if you're speeding along, if you're lucky enough that you can do 70 miles an hour from home to work every day, you're going to get about 28 miles of EV range. If you're like a regular person, you're probably going to get to 33. You're stuck in traffic. You got side roads, surface streets, all those things. I just went for it. They says that it gets, 83 MPGE. Again, MPGE is dumb. So really, it's got 36 MPG. So yeah, it's fine. Charging it, it's got a, you know, it's got J1772, easy peasy, charges at night, no problems. 12.3-inch touchscreen, more than enough. Like I said, wireless CarPlay and Android Auto, so I could listen to my Audible books and or my music or whatever. And I can reply to people texting me because people are constantly texting me once I'm in the car.
Yeah, like, they never do it when you're never do it when you're at home.
As soon as I'm in the car, people are texting me and I'm just, you know, I respond as much as I can. But sometimes it's like, blah, 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 send a photo. I'm like, and then like it with like iOS will like try to describe the photo and they're like, oh, it's this and this and this. I'm like, that doesn't help me at all. I have no, it's like, it's a cow next to a refrigerator. I'm like, what? That's, what? So yeah, then those people, I'm just like, well, now you're not getting any text, you know, spoken texts from me for the rest of this trip until I pull over and figure out what's going on. That's it. Yeah. It's a Kia. So it feels nicer than its price point. Inside, it's very roomy. Today I went to the hardware store and to the swap meet because I needed a router table. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I get a cheap router table to swap meet. And I got to the second to the last line of vendors. And there was a tiny little router table, exactly the size I want, nice and small. The guy wanted 40. I talked him down to 35. It's got a Craftsman router attached to it. Ooh. It's old, but it still works. He's like,
it was like, so it's back when Craftsman tools were really good.
That meant something.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Back when Craftsman meant something. So that fit in there. And then I went, then because I got that, I needed a 2x3, which is what I need to, you know, put a channel in. And so I went to the Lowe's. I got a big old 2x3, put the seats down, totally fit in there, along with some soil for a giant cactus that I have to plant after we're finished doing the podcast.
You're planting
planting a giant cactus after the podcast.
I was distracted by the thunderstorm that is raging outside. I'm like, wait, Robbie's planting a giant cactus.
My weekends are like, so what did I do yesterday? Oh, so I had to fix my 3D printer because it got all jacked up. And so I had to order parts. So those come in later today. So I have to do that. My weekends are action packed, filled with random errands, both for band stuff, for the house, and for just, I guess I do other things in my life. I can't remember what those are. Anyway, the Sportage works pretty well for this, all this. Again, this is the very expensive version. It's the manufacturer suggested retail price is $47,190, which I mean, sure. Again, it's the Sportage, it's the X-Line Prestige all-wheel drive. You know, when you just keep adding words and letters to the end. Yeah, things get more expensive. The more letters and words you add to the end of the name.
I mean, the more suffixes you add. That's stuff they have to glue on the outside of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And they probably have to license a font from somewhere for that, for the badge.
Yeah. Every additional suffix is like a $5,000 at least. anyway, total price overall, it had a bunch of stuff. $49,700. So it's a $50,000 SUV, which you're like, okay, it's a PHEV. You get 33 miles. I mean, I wish it got more for its size. I wish it, you know, we're hitting 40. And, you know, most people are hitting 40 at this point. This is 33. So it's a little like, but it's, you know, it doesn't have that crazy, you know, that loud Toyota thing that Toyota has. You know, if that's your big concern, that it's too loud.
It is a more refined driving experience.
It is very much a more refined driving experience than the Toyotas. But you are going to get more miles out of a Toyota. You guys want to guess the delivery charge?
$14.95.
Ooh, I was going to say that. I'll go $12.95.
It's $14.45.
Whoa, I win. Wow, I was off by $50. $50.
Which still feels like a lot of money, but still less
than
you
realize it's half as much as a Silverado.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this vehicle. Whenever I get one of the Hyundais or Kias, that's, you know, just sort of everyone has like five SUVs in their lineup. And to me, they're almost always end up being sort of interchangeable. They're all like 6 inches bigger than the one before it. And it becomes just sort of like, which one is that one? Which one is that one? And it feels like this boring game of like, let's just make a little bigger. Let's just make a little bigger. And let's just make them all look the same with every other one. I think Kia's, you know, they're using the design from, you know, that design element that we saw in the EV9. It's moved over to like the gas vehicle. So it does look different. It does have its own bit of a style. But if you look at it from the side, it's every other like medium-sized SUV on the market with plenty of cargo space. You can put a lot of stuff in the back. I went to Costco with it. You can sit in the back seat. It's, you know, if you have a family and everyone's teenagers, this is probably, like, you know, you got two kids, they're teenagers. They play football, soccer, baseball, mathletes, whatever they do, FFA stuff, which it involves a lot of stuff, I can tell you, as a kid who was in FFA.
I mean, speaking of all these things looking the same, a house in our neighborhood was sold recently, and some new family moved in there. And I've noticed, I haven't had a chance to meet them or talk to them yet, but I've noticed they have two Honda CRVs, two identical Honda CRVs.
Wow.
In the same color, even. The only difference between is one of them has one of those little hitch-mounted racks that, you know, fold-down rack to put
for bikes?
Stuff. Well, this one's, I mean, you could probably strap bikes on there, but it's to put, like, gear on there.
Oh.
So I've seen them come and go. And then today when I was walking one of the dogs, I noticed they had somebody else over there was visiting, and there was a Sportage sitting in the driveway. And as I was walking up, I realized, they have a third CRV now?
From the side.
As I got closer, I realized that, oh, yeah, that's actually a Sportage.
From the side, almost every SUV looks like every other SUV.
Mm-hmm.
From the, you're like, they're just a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller. That's what it comes down to.
I was in a lot looking for a car today, and I was trying to figure out which. I literally had to go look at the sticker for their SUVs or look at the back, because I'm like, which one is which? Like, they're like nesting dolls. Just like, which one of these? Like, I can't quite. I think I missed what? Which one? Yeah, because they weren't grouped by this. And I'm like, you guys are messing me up. Just put all the same one together so I can look and see what's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
They all look the same. Nesting dolls.
It's a whole, yeah. Yeah. That's why people are like, well, I can't, you know, people, I know people got angry at the AMG GT. I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't look like other vehicles. Why does everyone hate something that looks different but doesn't look atrocious? But,
yeah,
you know, it's gotta look to, you know, yeah, America, no whimsy in America.
All right. Well, did you know you can support Wheel Bearings directly? Head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia and you can become a patron today. Your contributions will help fund the platforms and tools we use to bring the podcast to you. And exclusives and improvements are already on the way thanks to your generosity. So if you want to be part of an automotive podcast like no other, head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia. We've updated the Wheel Bearings merch store, and now there's a whole bunch of new choices, new colors, new styles, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, hats, mugs, travel mugs, stickers, aprons, tote bags, you name it. You can get your Wheel Bearings merch at shop.wheelbearings.media. Go check it out. That's shop.wheelbearings.media. Speaking of, looking the same, I also had a Sportage. I had the Sportage Hybrid SX Prestige all-wheel drive. So
ooh,
I had the
sexy
the one
Prestige
without the plug, and that is not sort of vaguely pretending to be an off-roader. So,
oh yeah, this is, I guess, apparently it's vague. I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't take it. I didn't think about even taking it off road. Most of these sort of off roaders are like, meh.
It's like a CRV trail sport.
Yeah, know, you're like, sure. You could take a Corolla off. Again, you could take a Corolla off road. No one's stopping you.
Yeah.
You're ambitious. You can do it.
Yes. So I had the Sportage Hybrid. So same basic powertrain that's in the plug-in hybrid, with a little bit less electrical power. It's got the 1.6 liter turbo four-cylinder, six-speed automatic, all-wheel drive. And it is rated, it's EPA rated at 35 city, 36 highway, 35 combined. And I actually took it, I drove it to Detroit for lunch. George Kennedy and James Hope from Kia were actually in town this past week. And they were doing some meetings, and so they invited
James
a bunch of
James is a delightful person.
I love James. He's just lovely.
Yeah.
He's listening. We like you, James.
We like you, James. You're all right.
You're all right.
You're all right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's always willing to step up and loan us vehicles for Operation Frodo and make donations. So, yeah, he's a good person. Likes dogs. Anyway, I drove the Sportage to Detroit and back. And then also, you know, drove it around town a bit. Going to Detroit and back, I was surprised it actually got like 39 miles per gallon. So it was significantly better than the label fuel economy number. And that was on predominantly highway driving. So it did really well. It's got the big slab of glass with two 12.3-inch displays, wireless Android Auto and CarPlay. It's all good. You know, works nice. It's comfortable.
I forgot to mention, it does have the thing where it switches back and forth between the audio and the controls and the thing.
Yeah, it's
and
got
I
that
just
little panel.
It's so annoying. That's the most annoying thing in that car. And I just stopped using it because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to use the volume control on the steering wheel. I'm just I'm done.
Our EV6 has the same thing. And so we just leave it on climate mode and just use the steering wheel control for volume. Yeah. And then adjust the temperatures with the panel. Because it is ridiculous. And hopefully the last of the cars that have that have been introduced now. Anything introduced in the last year and a half or so does not have that. And so hopefully we will not see any more new cars having that panel. And I've talked to Hyundai about it. They know that it's dumb and it's going away. So the SX Prestige, you know, gets you stuff like LED fog lights, power folding mirrors, roof rails. It's got a heads up display. It's got the blind spot view monitor. So when you put on the turn signal, it shows the view from the camera on one side or the other in the instrument cluster. So you can glance over your shoulder, and then, you know, also get the full blind spot view right in the cluster, which is handy.
It's so much better than the ones that show up in the center console.
Those
are almost worthless. I mean, it's like,
I mean, that's what we had on our old Civic. And on the Civic, it only had the camera on the passenger side. It didn't even have one on the driver's side, which was, again,
weird.
Dumb.
I remember that. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
exactly. Like, we could get two cameras, and like, nah.
It's also got the remote smart parking assist, which I've always thought was kind of a strange little feature to have. Yeah, you know, on the key fob, you can press the button, and if your car is in a very tight parking space in a parking lot, and you don't want to try and open the door and ding somebody else's door or try and squeeze through there, you can just stand there and press the button, and the car will drive itself straight out of the parking space or back itself into a narrow parking space. It's fine. I've never actually used it in the real world except for, just to demonstrate it.
We're like, hey, look, you're like, oh, all right.
Yeah. And I mean, our EV6 has it. I showed my wife how it works, and we've never used it again. And let's see. It's got heated rear outboard seats. So the in the second row, the outboard seats are also heated. You got the ventilated front seats. So lots of nice features on here. Very fuel efficient, very nice to drive. It's roomy, fits adults in the back seat. Grand total on the one that I had, $41,985. Have you already forgotten how much you guessed on the destination chart?
$1,445.
Not even lying. Well, I actually wrote down what I guessed, and I'm like, what did I say? Because I take notes as we're talking.
We're actually going to be going with the value that's on my Monroney, not on whatever Monroney you have.
$1,295.
Do you want to stick with your $1,445 guess?
Yeah, I don't have any better guess than that.
Okay. You're actually closer. It was $1,395.
Oh, so it's $50 more.
How is this possible?
For the extra battery.
Yeah, well, that adds weight. You know, so that's going to increase the shipping cost. So, that's fair.
Makes sense.
I also had a Polestar 4. I still really like driving the Polestar 4. I like the way it looks, but there are so many little details that annoy the heck out of me. And one of them, the key fob that came with the car I was driving was dead. I don't know if it was a dead battery, or the fob was dead, whatever. The key fob was not working. So it had the key. It comes with a key fob, and you get an NFC card. So because the key fob was dead, I had to use tap the NFC card on the B pillar to unlock the doors. Fair enough. But the problem is, once you do that, you still have to have the fob or something to open the tailgate. So if you want to put something in the back, if the fob is dead, the tailgate will not open from the outside. You press the button, nothing happens, even if you have already unlocked the doors. So you could tap the NFC card on the B pillar, open the door, hit the unlock button on the door, and it still will not unlock the tailgate. And the only way to get the tailgate open is to get inside, start the car, tap a couple times on the screen, and pop the tailgate open.
Of course.
And then people make fun of me for liking the slate.
Yeah. This is why the slate exists,
like,
people.
Who wants a car that doesn't have any, like, you know, a screen? I'm like, as the tech guy who's been covering all these screens, I kind of like the idea. I have a car with a lot of screens and all these things you got to push to make things happen.
Oh, my gosh.
I would like, and I have one that doesn't do that, and now I want to pick up. So can you charge the key fob in the car somewhere, like on a Qi charger, or is that not
that I'm aware of?
Oh,
so I let the guys at Drive Shop know. You got to check out this key fob, because it's not working. So that's the other thing. Because the key fob was dead, that means that I had to put the NFC card down on where the wireless phone charger is, for it to recognize that in order for the car to start. So you can't, if the fob is dead, you can't just,
get
in
the car
and
because
drive.
It doesn't recognize that you have a key in the car. Yeah,
right.
That makes
so
sense.
So you
want to
make sure
also...
if you have a Polestar 4, make sure you keep the NFC card on you and keep your key fob on you just in case. So, it still has the stupid software controlled vents, which I have ranted and raved about too many times. And I posted another little video about it last week, so I'm not going to talk about that anymore, except to say that it's still a dumb idea.
I won't talk about it. It's still stupid.
Yeah.
So the Polestar 4, grand total, $71,600.
I mean, it's a Polestar, so you're paying that. It's like
it's a premium
Mercedes
car.
BMW. It's a luxury vehicle from Sweden.
Get guesses on destination.
What are you torturing your animals today, Robert? What is happening?
Two animals wanted out: the small dog and Ziggy the insane cat. They wanted out. When I opened the door, Roy the older cat came in, but Bowie stayed in. So I have the German Shepherd and the old bossy cat. And the bossy cat keeps yelling at Bowie the dog for no reason.
Okay, because your cat sounds like you literally have her tail shut in the door. Like, no, what are
just,
you doing
he's
at this
just
point?
Yelling at the dog. That's literally it.
I'm familiar with
that
problem.
Dog,
because...
Like, the dog tries to go somewhere, and the cat runs in front, like he's hurting him, and yells at him, like, no, you don't get to go there. This is my spot. Because he's old and bossy.
I'm familiar
out.
With
I'm
that
let the
issue
cat out.
Because
okay, let
Patty,
the poor cat
our
out.
Our one of our dogs, is gets very much like that. And he, like when there's something that triggers him that gets him all excited, he will turn around and start barking at Morty, saying, "Come on, we gotta go. He's putting peanut butter in the Kongs. We gotta freak out. We gotta have
quick,
a meltdown.
Quick. Move."
Or in the morning when you get up, you know it's time to go. You know it's like. You know, Morty just gets up kind of leisurely and strolls along towards the door. And Patty is just all gung-ho and starts barking at him and says, come on, we got to rush to the door before he gets there. Be ready to get out as soon as he opens the door. It's like, come on,
let's
Patty,
go.
Just chill out.
What's great is that the dog that's being bullied by the cat is the German Shepherd with the big scary bark and like, you know, he would kill people if they hurt me or my wife. But like the cat isn't clearly in charge of the house. Big protective German Shepherd. But at the, with the cat, he knows the cats. He's just like, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't like do anything. And cats are chaos machines. You can't fight a cat. You'll never win.
Chaos machines.
They don't care about anything. There's no rules to cat fighting. Everyone loses except for
Everyone
the cat.
Everyone loses. Cat's like, I'm good. What's your problem?
Just like little squirmy knives. That's it. It's just a flurry of knives. You've seen the cats chasing bears away from people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every animal is like, you know what? We're good.
Yeah. I don't want to mess with a cat.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Sorry for sidetracking everything into cats.
It's all right.
Dogs.
Cat, like you said, cats are chaos machines.
Mm-hmm. Look at creating chaos right now.
Yep. And he's not even on the show. All right. For 2027, Porsche is doing some more updates to the Taycan. First of all, they have discontinued the Cross Turismo and Sport Turismo variants from the U.S. market. So, because we won't buy nice things, they won't sell them to us.
Because we don't love a wagon. America hates wagons.
I know.
The best. Every time I drove one, I was like, this is my favorite car. Just my favorite car. People have asked me, what's your favorite car? I'm all, Taycan, Cross Turismo, or anything, really.
Yeah. So no more Taycan wagons for America. But for 2027, we do get fake shifting and more enhanced noises.
Sure.
Enhanced noises. Yeah, would you like enhanced noises with your car? Sure. I'll take enhanced noises.
I got enhanced noises already in my office with the animals, so I'm good.
Yeah, they basically went and benchmarked a Hyundai Ioniq 5N. And said, "Oh, we got to do that," and so now they offer that on the Taycan. So you know, it's got the whole shifting with the little torque dip when it does the shifts. You know, simulated 8-speed automatic. You know, and you can shift it with the paddles and everything. So
you know what? You know, that brings you joy, I was in the AMG GT. They drove me up and down that bridge that they did the mm-hmm. event on. Unfortunately, that footage disappeared. We don't know what happened to it. But I got other footage that I'll be putting up later. But they had the shifting, and it was actually kind of cool. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I don't know if I'd use it all the time. Probably not.
Yeah,
but,
well, it's like
know,
the 5N. It's not something you want all the time. But when you want to go out and have some fun, you get on a country road, it's a blast. Or you take it to a track day. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. No, have you driven the 5N, Nicole?
I believe I have. I can't. I'm being honest. I can't remember.
Okay.
Oh, I haven't driven it.
I have.
My Joker origin story is that I was invited to the 5N drive program at Laguna Seca.
So was I.
To my spam folder.
Oh.
Well, and I didn't know and I didn't go to the event, and I haven't driven the 5N since, kind of because of that, because I'm still like heartbroken. Spam folder. Don't email me at my .Mac account.
People,
automakers, email me at my Gmail account or my work account. Stop emailing me at my Mac account, because everything is spam according to Apple.
Yeah, I was invited to that one too, but I already had a prior speaking engagement that that week and could not make it. So
that's even worse.
Yeah. But I did get to drive it at Road America during the Mama Spring Rally. So,
I've driven it
on the track, you know, and on a really good track. So,
I haven't even called it in. Haven't, because I'm just like,
Well, I mean, maybe you can get the 6N now.
Maybe.
There you go.
Because that's the only Ioniq 6 that they're selling here for this year. And they took a 6N to the Nürburgring, and it recorded a faster lap time than the vaunted Lexus LFA.
Dun, dun, dun.
What?
Yeah, the LFA, you know, back when it still, you know, when it was still new and fresh, it went 7 minutes, 38 seconds around the Nordschleife, and, the 5N did 735 and change.
Yeah. 6N. 6N's a great car. It is a great car that is very odd styling that people do not like, and you shouldn't sit in the back seat if you're tall because you'll hit your head.
Yeah.
It drove better than the Ioniq. Like, it came out after the Ioniq 5. They didn't have to make it better. They could have just copy and pasted like the the whole driving dynamics into it, but they did. One thing I want to every once in a while have auto journalists will be like, all EVs drive the same, they all feel the same, which is wrong. We turned in our Ioniq 5 2024. We got a 2026. My wife drove it, came home. She's like, this one drives better. She could tell the difference. My wife is not an automotive journalist. My wife can tell the difference, and you as an automotive journalist cannot, you are doing it wrong.
Yes, I totally agree.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Shout out to
my wife. So, let's see. The Jeep Recon. Who's excited about the Jeep Recon?
I mean, I was a little excited. I mean, I really just want a Wrangler that's an EV. What do they call it? The Magneto or something?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Magneto. They could have did a tie-in with Marvel. I guess maybe not having the evil guy who kills people, but still.
Well, you get the early Magneto before he went bad.
Magneto. Just depends which one you're getting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which version of Magneto we're getting.
When he was still a good guy. Before he got cynical and disenchanted with the world.
With the human race.
Yes.
Wow.
Or with the non-mutant human race.
Yeah. Was it human superior? What was that? The Homo superior? Was that the... Come on.
Yeah,
which
I think
one
so.
Bigger comic book nerd.
I'm not that big of a comic book nerd.
I think that was the line, yeah.
I think. Keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. All right. anyway, the Recon, which may finally actually possibly be launching sometime soon, has an official EPA rating now. Up until now, Jeep has been saying, it's going to get about 230 miles of range, which was really quite disappointing for a vehicle with a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack. That's a pretty mediocre range number. Now that they have finished the official EPA certification, that would have actually been better, because the actual certified number, 222 miles of range.
Guys.
For $67,000.
For a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack. That's the thing. If it was like, it's 222 miles of range, but it only has like a 60 kilowatt hour battery pack because, blah, 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 packaging. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Most people aren't driving that far. But when you're like, here's 100 kilowatts and you're not going to get anywhere close. And you're just like, ooh, ooh.
Yeah. Huge. So, and just for reference, you know, the Rivian R2 has now started shipping to customers. They started customer deliveries mm-hmm. like a week and a half or so ago. That one, with the version with the 21 inch wheels, gets 330 miles of range. Or if you go with the 20 inch all terrain tires, you get 307 miles of range. And that's, you know, a similar sized battery in that thing. So, but of course the Rivian doesn't have buttons and doesn't have CarPlay.
That's true. And you can't take the, yeah. I mean, you can take the doors off any car if you try hard enough.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they keep showing a lot of pictures of the recon off, and then it has like a top where you can, you know, like a giant, like not quite, I guess, convertible. I don't know what you want to call it. What's that called?
I think they call it Skyview or something like
Skyview,
that.
Skyview, yeah.
Yeah, Sky, it's a retractable fabric roof.
Sky One Touch? Isn't it One Touch? Sky One
Touch? That's it.
Sky One Touch. There we go. Hey.
It's just hard. That range and that with the battery pack at that size and the price, it's just like a really hard sell.
Yeah.
For that. You're just like, ooh.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's going to
do. What do you think people are going to do? What do you think the Jeep Wrangler fans who want an EV that's bigger and not quite a Wrangler will do?
I don't know.
They're not going to buy this thing.
I think they'll just buy a Wrangler.
I don't think they're going to sell very many of these.
Yeah.
They put a lot into this thing too.
Yeah, I have this sneaking suspicion that this thing's going to sell even worse than the Charger Daytona.
Oh, I saw a Charger Daytona today while I was driving to the swap.
Look at him. Ooh, I saw one.
Saw a Charger Daytona today. Looks cool. It's a cool looking car.
Yeah.
Just haven't driven it.
Yeah, no, it's a good looking car.
By all, you know, it seems like a nice car. People seem to like it. You know, a couple of people are like, boo. I'm like, I mean, it's a muscle car. Muscle cars make sense for EVs because you just want to go fast in a straight line. That's muscle car. But it also doesn't go, it has that weird, you know, other
what
thing.
What does it not sound like? It doesn't go.
It doesn't go.
Okay, just
it has that other
checking.
Fratsonic, which sounds like a really bad ska band from the late 90s. We're the Fratsonics.
Electrify America opened up a new charging station this week in Santa Barbara. It's got 20 350 kilowatt stalls.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about.
And it still doesn't have NACS connectors on it.
Well, they'll add them later, which is
eventually.
You got a brand new one. Why haven't you put them on there?
Yeah, come it's on. A weird flex. They're like, look at this. By the way, we'll add some NACS collectors later this summer. We'll convert some of the CCS connectors to NACS. So then when you pull up, you're like, well, do I want to use my adapter or not? And fortunately, like every car comes with an adapter, so it's not the end of the world. But yeah.
But they did include a 1.9 megawatt battery energy storage system. So there's a big, giant battery. So it's not just sucking all, you know, if you got 20 cars that are charging, it's not just sucking it all down off the grid simultaneously. It's got a battery to
genius. The only issue I have is it doesn't have like some sort of like cover, like over
yeah there's
the place.
No canopies or anything.
That's
like there should
weird.
Be a canopy with just giant EV solar panel, like just solar panels over it.
The whole lot should just be covered by solar panels,
right?
Because you know,
to make
you're
some
in Santa Barbara,
to keep everybody
probably going
to
get
having...
some sun.
Yeah.
That looks like you would be really, really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Santa Barbara's not too hot, but still. It just seems weird. There's some trees, which is nice, but I feel like they could have put some...
along the edges.
Yeah, but and they have like a pergola, like in a corner where people can hang out, but it's not totally covered still.
No, it's still like kind of like a, it's like a pergola. It's got holes.
Yeah, it's got holes.
It's got holes!
It's so close, EA. But you know what? 20
actually,
chargers.
This is actually really cool and like well done. I'm happy to see they're doing it.
The charging situation in San Francisco, they're sort of whatever they're calling a charger. It's got like 20 things. It's great. You pull up, you pull in. There's always, you know, there's usually a space. There's someone there to say, hey, you pull here. This person's leaving there. It's nice. You can't have like two chargers station, two stations at a location anymore. You got to come on. Also sell tacos. That's all I want. I want a lot of star charging.
Really, if anybody's trying to lure Robbie, you don't need a van with candy. You just need with tacos.
Just bring a taco truck.
If someone came up in front of my house and they started playing like La Chona on the music, and I was like, oh, what's going on out there? And then all of a sudden I smell carnitas. I'm like, well, guess I'm kidnapped.
Guess I'm out now. See you later, everybody.
While texting my wife, I'm being kidnapped, but I have carnitas, so I don't know what to tell you.
What happened?
Sorry, sweetie. Love you.
Like, I knew they'd come for him one day.
All right. Let's go back to Chevy. So the Chevy Bolt, the new Chevy Bolt is out now. They're delivering them to customers. The guys from Out of Spec did, you know, they always get everything and do a whole bunch of different kinds of tests on there. One of the tests they do is, you know, they fully charge the car and they drive it until it's completely dead. You know, and they have a portable charger that, you know, they can tow behind a truck. You know, so they run the car until it just outright out and out dies. And one of the things they're looking for is to see, like, how much total range can you possibly get out of this car? And how much of a buffer does it have? Because, you know, with your gas car, you know, there's when the gas gauge is reading empty, there's usually still a little bit left there. You can still drive a little bit further.
Yes.
Yeah. And the same is true for most EVs. You know, get down to 0%. There's usually still 10 or 15 miles that you can go to get to a charger. With the Bolt, they found that when it got to 1% state of charge, boom. It was done. It rolled to a stop.
Wow.
So if you have a Bolt,
don't go down to 1%.
Yeah. Keep it, you know, above a few percent, you know, and leave yourself a few percent to get to a charging station.
Yeah.
Because once you get down to one, you got nothing left.
Yeah. I drove a Model S. And it was at zero, and I was doing a test with Tesla. They were like following me around with this car, on the radio, like, "Oh, just keep going." It was at 0%, and it just kept going. I'm like, I don't really feel like. Can we just go back? I don't feel like being in the middle. Oh, okay, now we got to get a flatbed. Now we got to do this. Now, well, someone will stay here, and you can get. And I'm like, it's like the extra 6, 7, 10 miles that I'm going to get out of this. I think it was at 12 miles past zero. And it just kept going. And I'm like, the extra, it's fine. We're good. It's going to be in the article. Settle down.
Yeah.
We're very much like, let's keep going. I'm like, no, why?
Keep going.
All right. Also, Chevrolet this past week announced the 2027 Silverado 1500. So this is the combustion version of their full-size truck. You know, it's got new sheet metal, still looks like a Silverado. The big news, new engines. You know, a couple months ago when they introduced the 2027 Corvette Grand Sports, they announced new engines, new sixth generation small blocks for that. For the Corvette, it's got a 6.7 liter V8. For the Silverado, previously, the previous generation, and actually I think for like the last 20 plus years, it's had a 5.3 liter V8 and a 6.2 liter V8. And now the new engines are 5.7 and 6.6 liters. So you got more V8.
More V8. Sure, it'll be fine with the price of gas.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't plan the. It's not like they planned these vehicles 2 weeks ago,
right?
Yeah, they're just like, well, truck people, they'll still buy them.
Yeah.
I've seen people. When gas was like $7 a gallon at some weird point, I forget what it was about. I've just dudes with big trucks with giant wheels just flying down the highway at 80 miles an hour. I'm like, you know how much gas costs? Like, what are you doing?
Are you crazy?
Who are you impressing with your, like, I spent $700 in gas this week. I'm like, slow down. Get this, just go to, just do 70.
Just take it easy, buddy.
Take it easy. Save a little bunny.
Earlier, Nicole, you were talking about the interior on the the Silverado EV being kind of meh. They did make a big point, you know, during the briefing call that they are really upgrading the interiors on the new Silverados.
All because of you, Nicole.
Yep.
I'm glad. Thanks, Chevy. I appreciate you listening. Thank you. Yeah, Thank you very much. Yeah. It's all me. I'm taking all the credit.
So, I mean, certainly, you know, from the photos they've released, nobody's actually seen these in person yet. So it's hard to tell, you know, how good it actually is. From the photos, looks pretty nice.
Looks like an upgrade.
You know, they got a 16.4-inch center screen, which, by the way, still has Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. And if you are so inclined, you can also get a passenger screen.
I decided I'm sort of anti-passenger screen. Not anti-passenger screen, just nobody, you, they don't, it never gets used.
Okay, so I asked CEO at Mercedes like months and months ago when I got a preview of the S-Class, like why for the passenger screen? Why for the passenger screen? And he's very flatly, he's like, Asia. He's like, the Chinese want them. They're very tech-forward market. They're far more accepting of technology than the U.S. market. And that's why we're doing it.
Asia. But
he never said, because Americans really want... Nope, just like flat out Asia.
But then everyone
keeps doing it. And so like because everyone else is doing it, now you got to do it. Because Stellantis was doing it, now Chevy has to do it, which makes...
You know who doesn't buy Silverados and Ram 1500s?
The Chinese. Exactly.
All the time. They're big on those.
Because it's bigger than an entire village.
Yeah.
Because we have phones. It's just like, okay, look at this. I've tried to talk people into like, hey, look at that.
I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, I mean, like, we shouldn't have them. It's just, I don't think anybody uses them. Any car I've ever had one in, doesn't matter who my passengers, they don't care. They're like, this is neat. And then they pull out their phone.
Yeah. It's this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Back to their phone. It's like the VR of cars. Like everyone's like, oh, this is cool. And you're like, okay, can I get this off my face? It's hot and it's warm. And like, I can just play a game on my phone.
I mean, at least the passenger screens aren't hot and heavy on your head.
That's true. It's not a hot computer.
It's just there. You know,
Hey, you like pimples?
That? It's just screen on your head.
Hey, you like pimples?
I actually have ridden around in a car with a VR helmet on there. Back a few years ago at CES, Audi was doing demos with an autonomous concept car that they had up on the roof of the parking garage at the Aria. And they had us wear VR goggles while we were riding around in this thing. But what they had done is the view in the VR goggles was tied to the motion of the vehicle. So as the vehicle went straight, you know, it looked like you were going straight at whatever you were seeing. As the car turned, you would see it turn. So they tied it to the motion to try to minimize the effects of motion sickness. Because, you know, if you had one kind of motion coming from the car and something different that your eyes were seeing, you know, you're probably going to have a lot of people throwing up in your concept car.
Early VR was the problem with early VR was latency.
Yeah.
So if you moved, like there was a slight delay and boom, people are just. Blah.
Yeah. But I mean, the car
it's
was moving very slowly
your,
too.
How good your brain is at that. Like your brain is so good at going, this is not right. It's not
right.
Matching the reality of where you're moving. Something is wrong.
Quick, empty the stomach.
Quick, throw up.
They say that's actually an evolutionary thing, you know, from back when we were hunter gatherers and we didn't necessarily know what we were eating, you know, and as soon as, you know, the brain evolved, you know, as soon as there was a disconnect between what your senses were detecting and what you were feeling, it would say, oh, you probably ate something poisonous. We got to throw this up.
Immediately
Let's get this
make
out of
you
here.
Throw up.
Yeah. Which, you know, makes sense.
VR, it's poison.
VR is like poison food. Yeah. Bad VR is like poison food.
Bad VR is poison.
It's a mushroom you should not have eaten.
Those red berries, just like VR, it's bad.
So for the Daft Punk stuff, I wear like a wearable monitor. It's like a VR headset, really. But it's just a monitor so I can see my computer because I can't see the computer behind the LEDs when I'm DJing. And I had to wear it for one. It's the set list is 1 hour and 20 minutes. And I can tell you about 40 minutes in, I'm like, God, I really wish this was over. Like halfway through. And I'm just like, okay. I'm sort of adjusting it. And then it starts getting warmer and warmer inside the headset. And I'm like, oh, I got to put a fan in here. I got to do this and this. And yeah, it's you're just like, yeah. And then you take it off and you're like, your face is all slimy and weird. Yeah.
So one of the interesting details they talked about with the Silverado, if you look at the photos, you will notice there's no shark fin on the roof of any of these trucks, because what they've done is at the back edge of the cab, there's like a ridge, there's like a spoiler like thing along the back edge of the cab. And so in that ridge, in that bar, they have integrated the antennas in there along with the rear cameras. If the truck happens to be equipped with bed lights and things like that, those are in that bar. They've made it look a little bit sleeker.
Oh, that's cool.
That's kind of nifty. Okay.
All right.
One thing that we did ask them about, was if they have any plans for any sort of hybrid, or any sort of power export solution. 'Cause, you know, Ford has, you know, Pro Power on board with all their hybrids. And even with their non-hybrid trucks, you can get a 2-kilowatt Pro Power on board. And it's like, they kind of dodged that question. They did not really answer that question, you know. And really, the response kind of seemed like, we're not doing that. No plans for that.
Not going to happen.
I like the Pro Power thing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a truck, you know, having a couple of kilowatts that you can output, you know, is really nice. So
I did a video at Engadget where we took the truck out to the middle of the field and we played Mario Kart on a big screen TV.
Perfect.
I mean, cool.
As you do, you know.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that, yeah.
All right, and then one more thing GM-related. Which is that I'm doing another show now with Craig Cole for greencars.com. We're interviewing some people. And we interviewed Kurt Kelty, who is the VP in charge of batteries and sustainability at GM. And you saw Kurt probably at the GM Empower event. One of the things that, you know, we actually recorded the interview a few days before that event because of schedules, but it didn't come out until this past week. And one of the things I asked Kurt about was solid state batteries. Because GM, you know, as previously announced, you know, they're working with a bunch of different companies on solid state batteries. And, you know, everybody keeps making big pronouncements about, yeah, we're gonna launch solid state batteries. And so what's the status of solid state batteries? And basically his response was, you know, I've been doing this for more than 20 years and heard a lot of stuff about solid state batteries and how they're just around the corner. And we came down to, so solid state batteries are like hydrogen fuel cells. They're 5 years away for the next 25 years.
That's what I've been saying. I feel like Kirk, I think he stole my deal.
Probably.
I'm going to send him a cease and desist.
Stop. But, you're done. You
know, as somebody who's been in the battery business a long time, you know, he does not seem to have much confidence that solid state batteries are any closer to volume production than they were 5 or 10 years ago.
A lot of people are working on them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he said they're testing at least solid state batteries from at least half a dozen different companies in their labs. And it's like, we'll see.
Not
maybe.
There's the dendrite issue, which is because it's a solid state, it's not lit. So what happens is as the ions are going back and forth, it creates little spikes, and those spikes cause short circuits, which means it kills the lifetime of the battery. And so instead of having like thousands and thousands upon thousands of charge cycles, it has a couple hundred instead. Also, because it's solid, like the size, like the mass gets bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller. It's just like a lot of like little weird little things you have to like figure out to fix. And every once in a while, I know people are still angry about Donut Lab, and Donut Lab's like, hey, we're doing this thing. And I'm like, okay, well, until you, you know, I wrote the article, I talked to the CEO, I talked to the tech team, I talked to the people who are working on it. I'm like, all right, sure. If you guys think you've solved it, all right. I wrote that. And of course, everyone's angry, but most of the angry is like, you know, it's as well, there's no way they could do it. I'm like, well, we don't know. And they're only, and again, they're only making 300 motorcycles. That's the, yeah. With this. So it's not like it's mass production on like a niche motorcycle scale. So, you know, they still have like till the end of the year, I guess. I don't know. I think they have a couple out, but who knows? It's everything about solid state is so weird. And it's really tough. And occasionally someone will write something about solid state and not mention the technical issues that are actually there. And I'm like, why did you write this article?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like someone was like, this is a, they're like, I think someone wrote an article. It was like, Donut Lab is a scam. I'm like, all right, cool. So I read the article. Nothing about the technical issues. Just a lot of like somebody on YouTube complaining that Donut Lab is a scam. I'm like, okay, maybe it's a scam, but at least give me some, show me that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a solid state battery company here in Ann Arbor that was started by a U of M professor back in 2010-11 timeframe, you know, called Sakti 3, and they, you know, they got acquired by Dyson when Dyson was still planning to build an electric SUV.
I remember that.
Yeah, they worked on it for another 3 or 4 years, and finally Dyson gave up and said, yeah, you know what, you can, Anne-Marie Sastry, you can have your patents back. We see no value in
we're
this.
Done.
We're not going to do this.
The profit margins on vehicles are so slim compared to like a really expensive but really good vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Like I have
turns
a Dyson.
Very different products.
I have a Dyson like animal vacuum cleaner that we've replaced because my wife's like, we got to get a new one. It still works, the old one. It's in my garage. I still use it like, all the time. And that thing's like 15 years old. It just keeps going. Can't get that with a car. It's so hard to make. Cars are so hard to make. I don't know why anyone wants to do it.
I don't.
Such a silly idea.
Who the hell wants to get into the car business? It's insane.
It's a bad idea.
Madness.
Anytime someone's like, I'm going to start a car company, you should check them.
Apple 10 years to realize what a ridiculous business this is.
Yeah. They get such, you know, their volumes on iPhones and their subscription models, like they make a ton of money and they're like, okay, now we're going to make this like thing where we have to like start either work with somebody to build our vehicle or we have to like, you know, spin up a factory and we got to do all these things in order to make a teeny tiny little profit margin. Or we just keep making phones and charging people for iTunes.
Yeah. And then Rivian, you know, speaking of somewhat scamish behavior. Back when they first launched the R1T and R1S, you know, they said, "Yeah, these cars are eventually going to get, you know, self-driving, hands-off, hands-free, self, you know, hands-free assisted driving capabilities." Is actually what they talked about. So like a Super Cruise style system. You know, I don't think they ever actually said that it would be fully autonomous, you know, the way
like a level three.
Tesla has said, but they did promise hands-free capability with the first generation R1s. That never happened, and now they, you know, they have acknowledged that those vehicles will never be able to have hands-free capability. They just don't have the compute power for it, and it wouldn't be practical to try and upgrade them. And so there's a class action lawsuit. So if you've got one of those first generation R1s, yeah, you might be coming into some money at some point.
$17.
Judge. Yeah.
$17, you're being ambitious, Robbie.
The judge has said that lawsuit can go forward.
Oh.
Wow.
Lithium, if you're selling, first of all, if you're buying a car because someone tells you it's going to be level three, which is eyes off, hands off autonomous driving, in the future.
Future.
I mean, first of all, they shouldn't be saying that if they can't deliver. But also, that's so hard. That is
also
hard. And it's
just
unlikely your car is going to do that.
Yeah. Just in general, any product, whether it's a phone or a car or anything else, you buy it for what it can do right now. don't ever buy anything based on what somebody promises you it's going to be able to do at some point in the future with a software update.
Yeah.
If you're not happy with
the, Tesla
with
for the, that.
Yeah. If you're not happy with the functions that it has today, don't buy it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking for the stuff they're promising you at some point in the future, you know, whether it's a computer or a camera or whatever it might be, wait until it actually does that to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you want. You know, buy it for what it can do today, not what it might what they promise it might do in the future.
Yeah. I've been doing this for a very, very, very long time. And before I was a car reporter, I was a tech reporter, and I was a security reporter. And I will tell you that a lot of stuff is like, we're going to have all this great stuff that happens. And then the stuff never happens. And then you're like, oh, so here's a fun thing. FaceTime originally at the original launch was supposed to be cross-platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be available on Android and other things. And that was it'll be cross-platform. Steve Jobs got up, told everybody that. Never happened.
Yep.
So, yeah.
All right. And then finally, Carvana. Have either of you two either bought or sold cars through Carvana?
Never.
No.
Never.
So, you know, it's an interesting company. Yeah, trying to apply e-commerce to car buying, to used car buying up until now. And, you know, and also having giant car vending machines at their stores. And, you know, you can go online, you know, if you're trying to sell a car, you can go on Carvana, put in your VIN number, get an offer for that car. And if you accept the offer, they'll roll up with a flatbed and hand you a check and take away your car. And they make it really easy. They almost went belly up during the pandemic, or, you know, the later pandemic era when cars were in short supply and they started overpaying for all the used cars. And, paying way too much money. But they have recovered. They're doing okay now, and they've now decided to start getting into the new car business. So they have bought a bunch of Stellantis dealers in the past year, and they're applying their same model, their same sales model, with new Stellantis vehicles, so Jeeps, Rams, Chryslers, and Dodges, where you can, you know, those dealers now, you know, they're still franchise dealers, so they're independent from Stellantis, but, you know, if you want to, you know, you can go into those dealerships and you can test drive a car, you can walk around, check it out, get all the information, and once you decide you want to do it, you just go on their website. And they're using the same Carvana platform that they use for used car sales for these new cars. And you can buy it directly through there, and they will even deliver the cars for you if you want to your home.
So it was a few weeks. I don't know how time works. June 3rd. So yes, that was a few weeks ago. So Carvana, there's a TechCrunch article from Sean O'Kane, super nice mm-hmm. guy, really great reporter, that Carvana's granted the option to invest in Slate Auto. So they might start looking into, like, you know, they might say, hey, we can sell Stellantis vehicles. Yeah, we can sell, you know, hey, you want a Slate? We already have, you know, if you just want a blank Slate, the bare bones one, they could be like, yeah, we have one. We could just drive it to your house. Of course, that'll be probably, if, you know, a while, because they have $180,000, $50 refundable, you know, reservations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how many of those people become actual car buyers, the 300 and I guess it's $300, like non-refundable, like that. Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how that number goes from 180,000 and what it comes out as, because they get half of that. They get 90,000 people who order the car. I mean, that's a long time before you're going to be able to get a Carvana Slate.
Yeah. But, you know, the other upside of that is, you know, those stores that Carvana owns, whether it's, you know, some of the Stellantis new car dealerships or, you know, their used car locations, you know, they have service departments.
Yeah.
They could potentially be providing service for those Slate vehicles too.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
So,
and for the earlier from hours ago when the podcast started. Homo superior. That's what the mutants are. Their technical thing in the Marvel universe. Homo superior.
So we are Homo sapiens.
Yes.
And they are Homo superiors.
Homo superior.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. All righty. We have one question this week from Eric. Says, I'm wondering why the REV concept, assuming he's referring to EREV, hasn't taken off in the truck market in the U.S. The BYD Shark seems to be a solution to having a truck that is electric but can still travel 500 miles on the combined electric motor and gas engine. This will allow you to tow without the long stops to charge. It might take off if anybody actually had launched one yet, which we're still waiting on Stellantis. Ford has promised a next generation Lightning that's going to be an EREV. Scout is planning an EREV. They're going to launch with an EREV version of the Scout Traveler and the Scout Terra. They should be arriving. And Stellantis, as of a month ago, saying, yep, we're still going to be launching the Grand Wagoneer EREV and the Ram 1500 EREV, this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
The U.S. market is, unless you're Toyota, is very, Ford, GM, Stellantis heavy.
Yeah.
So one of those big three have to do it.
Well, Ford is saying they're going to do it. GM is non-committal on it.
Well, they don't even have a hybrid, so.
Yeah. And Stellantis, has been showing
been
them for a couple
it.
Of years now. But
I talked it up in an article in a video I made about what PHEV, how PHEVs hurt work. And that video went up 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, it sounds really cool. You could drive 140 miles or whatever they said the EV range was, and then you can drive, if you're towing something, you got gas.
Yeah. Yeah, Stellantis was, pretty much ready to launch the EREV version of the Ram 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. Then they fired Carlos Tavares and brought back Tim Kaniskis, and Tim decreed, oh, we have to put V8s in everything. So that has kind of shuffled the schedules around, because they don't want to launch too many things simultaneously. So every time they think of something new to put a V8 into, then they have to push back the EREV launch, to launch the other ones first. They say they're going to launch them, in the next few months. We'll see.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for this week. Thank you everybody for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I mean, there's been at least six people watching the live stream.
I keep forgetting we have the live stream.
I forget we have that too.
They're watching me fight with my cats. They're watching me.
We had eight views on the live stream.
Be sure to like and subscribe, everybody.
Yeah.
Put some likes, I guess, on Apple Podcasts. That's the best one.
YouTube,
that's
what I've, somewhere.
Find a place.
Wherever it is that you watch and or listen, give
tell
us a rating.
Friend.
Yeah.
Tell a friend.
They're looking for a car. I mean, we talk about
actually,
cars.
The number of subscribers to the Wheel Bearings YouTube channel is continuing to grow.
We
got more people watching. Apparently people did want to see us on camera.
I don't understand why.
Yeah.
I'm all sweaty. It's really hot today in my house.
Yeah, really, it's all about your cat. They want to see the cat and the
more
puppy.
More cats. If you would like more cats, please
comment puppy.
In
That's
the
what they're looking for.
Thing.
Like and subscribe, and we will try and get you more cat action.
More.
Get you more of Roy harassing
More
Bowie.
Of Roy just yelling. And then Ziggy, if I don't let Ziggy out of my room, he'll literally just start tearing up the carpet. He just starts pulling it up. I need out, and I need out right now, or I'm going to try to burrow my way under the door.
Oh, goodness. It's very aggressive.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.